Good morning. How are you? Amen to that. Good morning. It's good to be back in God's house. Am I on? Can you hear me out there? Yeah, okay. Well, just a few things before I start my message this morning, just to get some information out there. How many of you, I just need to know, how many of you got a postcard in the mail? Good. Garland worked hard to get those out, and that's good. Just put the word out. We are back, and we knew that a lot of folks would stay home, and that's okay. That's all right. We had to let folks come back at their level of comfort. But let people know we're having church in the church house, in God's house, through May. And you may have already noticed things have been shortened. Our services will be a little shorter. And that's harder on the preacher than anybody. It's easier on you. It's harder on me. But man, I just missed singing and the worship so much. It's been so good just to sing to the Lord these last few minutes and just enjoy. That's what I maybe miss the most, except missing you personally. It's just good to see all of you. We've really, really missed you. I'm picking on people. I think I got a little echo in the house, just a little bit. Yvette is home, and she's back there behind her mask. She serves in our service, and she's been in battle, so to speak, but it's good to have her home. And amen. Just for our leaders, also, we will be meeting again and engage Tuesday night at 6:30 to just go over our weekend to see how we did. We've been planning for this weekend for about 4 weeks, and so that we could come back when it was right and do it right. Won't be any children's ministries or nursery just through May. But there's already plans to reestablish those. Pastor Steve and his team, Joel and the bunch, they're still doing the videos. So you can go home today and do church with your children. I will say one thing. It's the first time since I've been saved that I could be at home and have church with my family. Right? And there's been I know God's been moving in our house. Has he been moving in your house? The Holy Spirit's, you know, everywhere. So, but that's been really good. It's like you get up, you kind of have breakfast, you watch this crazy guy preach, and then you go right to lunch. I mean, you're like already home. But anyway, Wednesdays, we'll continue to do Wednesdays. We've been doing it on Zoom. Our attendance has been fabulous. The youth, the teenagers had a record attendance for the last year, last Wednesday. Yeah, on Zoom. Young adults are meeting. The table talks meeting and the Bible studies have been wonderful. We're going to continue that through May. And just we're going to continue our online service. We're being recorded as we speak. So see, you may get caught doing something you shouldn't be doing. Actually, the camera's on. As long as you don't walk across the front from that side to that side, you will not be in the video. And we have people strategically hidden that if you walk across the front, you will be tackled by the time you get there. Not really. So we don't want the top of your head on our video. So we've had great attendance online. I know you've appreciated it. We feel like it's valuable for us here at The Rock here in the Valley. And people the entire time, there hasn't been a week gone by that somebody didn't come back to Christ or somebody in one of our family members were touched. The reports just keep coming in. So hallelujah, praise the Lord. We're going to start a new series. I don't know if I got through everything. There's so much. Just continue to practice social distancing. I'm a handshaker and a hugger. You don't know how difficult that is for me. Because everyone, I tried to get to everybody and talk to everybody a little while today. I just want to come up and give you the biggest hug. And I knew some of you moved my way. And I had to tell you, if Darla knows I hug you, I'll be dead when I get home anyway. It won't be COVID that gets me. Darla will take me out. So I've been, honey, I haven't shaken one hand or hugged one neck. Yay! So anyway, hey, you can, if you're sitting in families, you can scoot your chairs closer together if that's something you want to do. And praise the Lord, we've been in a, we were in a praise and prayer series, and then we had Mother's Day. We got reports from you and mothers all around the country on the Mother's Day, and now we're starting a series. And I felt like, I feel like the Lord puts these on my heart all the time, but I really believe, and I believe there'll be a transition for a few weeks for folks to come back. Then I believe with all my heart, God has already opened a window of opportunity for us to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. I believe and I know that there's people across America, in Arizona and Phoenix, that are wondering about God and wondering about Jesus. And Rock Church, I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready as you go back to work. Some of you never left work. All this, that people are going to wonder why you got joy, how you got through the crisis. And God's going to give us a window, just like He has historically almost every time when everything, and look, basically everything's failed, but He never fails. And we know that. And so I want the Rock Church to continue to be the church. That's been my message since March. Continue to be the church. Continue to be the church. Because I believe the Lord is going to make a window of opportunity for us to share Christ and for the kingdom to expand. So with that being said, Paul Niles, although he doesn't feel comfortable being here yet, he's not healthy. He came in and put my water on my table this morning. Now, isn't that something? Isn't that something? He said, "Pastor, I don't want any dry preaching." I went, "All right." Going home, Paul. But I felt like about the next 10 weeks, I'm going to do a series on Jesus Is. Done character studies on 15, 20 characters. We finished David last fall. We did David. I thought to myself about 2 months ago, I said, well, why don't I do a character study on Jesus? How about that one? But in my heart, I felt like because I believe God is going to open and is already opening a window of opportunity, people are going to want to know who Jesus is. And church, because I spent a lot of time studying, I'm kind of just reintroducing myself to Jesus. So it's healthy for the church to be reminded who Jesus is. I mean, well, I haven't been here in 8 weeks. Actually, I left the week before. If you remember, I went to Kentucky. I haven't seen you in 9 weeks. I almost didn't even know who Maddie was. Oh, yeah, that's who you are. I need to be reintroduced. So we're going to reintroduce ourselves as a church this next 10 or 12 weeks and know who the Lord is, who Jesus is. And here we go. Here we go. Here we go. We want to pray for you at the end. First message today is Jesus is love. I think that's the best place to start. The scripture says love never fails. And Jesus is love. Look to your neighbor, even though they may be far away. Say, Jesus loves you. I believe the world that we live in may need to hear those words more than they ever have. I believe that with all my heart. George Matheson, who was a great preacher from times of old, when he was a youngster, he was about 16, began to lose his eyesight. He decided he would go to college anyway. And he went to a college in England. And while he was in school, close to his senior year, he lost his eyesight completely. During that time, he would be engaged to be married. His sisters come alongside him and helped him finish school blind. Is that amazing? Because the call of God was on his life, he wanted to go to seminary, and that's exactly what he did. His sisters agreed to help him, and he went to seminary to study Christian ministry, Christian theology, and blind. And he got through it. He got his degree because there was a call of God on his life. It wasn't long, a year or so after that, and life seemed to be happy, and he had overcome so many obstacles. He had actually begun to minister in some of the churches. His sisters were engaged to be married, which for him was a great joy. He was so thankful they had gotten him through the most difficult season of his life. And so with great joy. But at the same time, he felt a great sadness in his heart because during this season, his fiancée left him because she didn't feel like she could ever be married to a blind man. So he was extremely excited for his sister, but his heart was broken because it reminded him that his fiancée left him. He consoled himself, he would say, and you could read this, was taken from some of his journals. He said, God's love is never limited, never conditional. God's love is never withdrawn and never uncertain. He would go on to write many hymns, one hymn of which was, O love that will not let me go. And it was written out of the pain that he experienced from losing his fiancée. And some of the words, O love, speaking of Jesus, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give you back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths it flow, may richer, fuller be. I just want to say this morning, and as we speak about love, is human love can be very uncertain. We've all in this room, most of us live long enough to know that some people we thought loved us when it got tough, they didn't really love us that much at all. Anybody ever been there? Right? Can I just say this? If you live past 2.5 years old, you're going to be mistreated, and it just happens. That's the world we live in. It doesn't mean that we can't love. But human love can be and is very uncertain. All of us here this morning, at least most of us, has experienced some level of rejection. And many of us, it was somebody close to us, or maybe not so close. But I tell you, his hope, his love should always be our goal. To know Jesus is to know love. Wow, I am so excited. I'm trying to stay under control. I've been preaching to Alex and Tim for 8 weeks. And then I showed up about two or three weeks in, and on the front two rows, all these little stuffed animals were out. Rick, I looked over there and I was expecting to see some little teddy bear, and it was you. Hallelujah, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with people. I'm getting loose. I don't know, a camera and two guys, Houston was here some, but I mean, it's a challenge. On Tuesday night, one of my longest, anyway, yeah, long work day, and Tim prayed us through. He led us in prayer. We had a small prayer meeting every Tuesday night. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you? On Tuesday night, we got here at 5:30, record about 6:30 at 7. I was really glad Jesus loved me. Hallelujah. His love never fails. His love will never let you down. The scripture says he will never leave you or forsake you. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12 says this, Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Hallelujah. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I love this. Dear friends. dearest friends to my heart. Since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. We're going to look at a few principles today as we talk about the love of Jesus. Let's go. There's a standard of love. There's a measure. There's a love that should be normal for every Christian. Not unusual, not even exceptional, although it is an exceptional love. There's a standard in God's Word. And I'm going to teach you just real quick, and we'll be unpacking these verses I read and sharing a few more verses. There are three primary words for love in the original language. There's actually another three or four that are like side versions of love, but there's three key words for love in the Scripture, where we only have one for love in the English. And I've taught this before. One is phileo. It's a love that is a brotherly love, a friendship. Wave to your neighbor over there and say, "Hi, friend." That's a phileo love, where there's a close friendship. It's a powerful love. Don't discount it. Some of y'all love to hang out. Different people hang out with different people. We connect with different people. We're different personality types and et cetera. But you have friends to hang out with, right? And so that's a type of love called phileo. And then there's, like a love called eros. Now, the word eros love is a romantic love. It's like, boy meets girl. And I've always taught our kids and teach your kids too. Just be their friend first. If you make a good friend of that woman or that man, then if it goes south, it didn't really go south because you're just friends in the first place. But the word eros there is a romantic kind of love. And it's kind of like this. Boy meets girl. And the boy says, I really like you. And the girl says, I really like you too. And the boy goes, no, I really like you. That's kind of what it's like. At least that's what I'm trying to illustrate that for you. How long you been married, Tom? How long you been married? Virginia? Tom really likes you for 37 years. That's kind of what it's like. And then some. Let's keep moving. Then there's agape love, and you've heard it taught. It's an unconditional love. It's the love of Christ. But this is something that stuck out to me, and I've taught these three words. I can't even count the times over all these years, not in a while. And it is the love of Christ. It's the love of God. It's God loving us because He loves us with agape love. It's the standard, listen to me, it's the standard that God has called the church to. And the word that seemed to stand out to me as I prayed over this message and prepared this message and prayed over this message, agape love will always be a very sacrificial love. Many times an agape love, when it is expressed through Christ's people, will cost us something. It's a love that's not an emotion, but it's a decision. Agape love is an act of the will. Now, I know there's fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to touch on that later, that God produces that in us as we abide in Him, John 15. If we're going to love, and in this hour, the church needs to love each other and others, we need to agape. It's not always going to be easy. You will not always feel emotionally. Agape love is a sacrificial love. It kind of goes like this. Boy meets girl. They get married. About 3 weeks in, they have a little disagreement. It's worse than that. I mean, they're yelling, they're screaming. Right? They're not seeing eye to eye. They made a mistake because they learned in premarital counseling, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You better resolve those conflicts. But they made a mistake and they said, I'm going to bed and I'm going to bed too. And it wasn't better the next day. It never is better the next day. The scripture says in Ephesians, you give the devil a foothold. Anybody ever been there? Don't raise your hand. Amen. Boy gets up to spouse next morning. Boy and spouse don't feel like friends. Boy and spouse don't feel like making love. There's no phileo there. There's no eros there. So guess what they have to do? They have to make a decision by an act of their will, agape, to love each other and stay rooted and grounded and anchored in that love until they can resolve the conflict at hand. That's the love that Christ has called the church to. It's sacrificial. It's not easy. I think some of you this morning just thought, well, when you got agape and you got Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit, it's just easy, easy, easy. No, it's going to cost you something. It's sacrificial. 1 John 4:20 says this, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Wait, emotions are neutral. Agape always calls us to a choice. Are you with me? That's our standard. That's what Jesus called us to. That's who Jesus is. He made a choice, didn't he, to go to the cross? He made a choice that even while we were yet sinners, he did what? Died for us. To the cross he went. Number two, there's a test of love. There's a test, and we read this from the text. Loving God, then, is just not enough. Because loving others is proof that we love God. Right? Did we read that in the text? Matthew 22:37 said this, and this is the test of love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, your neighbor means your friend, your next door neighbor, the people you work with, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Like it. Loving God and loving others. Loving others is like loving God. Part of loving God means loving family. Part of loving God means loving each other in the body of Christ. In fact, Jesus clearly taught you can't do one or the other. If you want to know whether you're living in that kind of love, a Christian love, the love God's called us to, or not, you have to ask yourself this morning, do I love God and do I love others? Or do you have to ask yourself this, do I love others and therefore do I love God? It's a test. And I'm going to, and you're here, you're the church, you love being in church, you love being the church, you love being at the house of God. But I come across people all the time, Christians, that said, you know, I love Jesus, I just can't stand the church. No, I hear it all the time. I hear it consistently. You know, I've been to this church, that church, this church, that church. I really love the Lord. The people in the church, I just don't love them. Well, that, according to Christ, that's impossible. You can't love God without loving the church, without loving each other. I know, hey, look around. We're imperfect. We make mistakes. We hurt each other by accident. We're people. We're imperfect people. I told my kids, you know, can I tell you something this morning? This is not in my notes, but inside the church, you eventually will get hurt. I said, you will. We're people. Grace and I have been in the same church for 25 years. I hurt her feelings a time or two, and she hurt my feelings a time or two. And we don't remember it much, but because we love it. We care about each other. We got through some of those conflicts, especially in the early going. I had a lady in my office not too well. She'd been in six churches. I just love the church. Now, she has a ministry to the church, she says. And I asked her, I said, well, if you really don't love the church, how can you minister to the church? She said, yeah, that's kind of a problem, isn't it? I went, yeah. And I'm going to say this, and I'm thankful for social media. I'm more thankful for social media than I've ever been in my life. God has continued to move through you as the church, through social media and YouTube, and we're going to keep doing it to reach the lost and disciple people. I am so thankful for it. But in this lady's case, she's not in the church, but she's ministering on social media. I think something's missing there. First John 3:18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Christianity was never meant to be lived in isolation. It was meant to be together like we are this morning. I've learned some things this last 8 or 10 weeks that we can do, even through social media and some other avenues, but we can't ever quit being together in small groups and large groups. It's about relationship. It's about family. Church, we're a family. That was the main reason I wanted to get back. I just missed my church family. You know, I walked around the corner and there's Abby all smiley. And I'm saying, hey, Abby, how you doing? And just all of you. So good to be here. So good to be here. One of the fruits of the Spirit is love. And we know that, and that's true. And we find that in Galatians. It's agape love. If we're lacking, we need to ask ourselves, where's the fruit? There's a story about a traveler who fell in a deep pit and couldn't get out. People came along and saw him struggling in the pit. The sensitive person came by and said, I really feel you down there. The reflective person came by and looked in the pit and said, it's logical someone like you would fall into the pit. I've heard that before. The aesthetic person said, I can give you ideas on how to decorate your pit. The judgmental person said, only bad people fall in the pit. You must have done something bad. The curious person said, how in the world did you get in the pit? How'd that happen to you? You knew better than that. Oh, I'm added to the story. The perfectionist said, well, of course, you deserve to be in the pit. The self-pitying person, oh my goodness. That's nothing. You should have seen my pit. Heard that one 100 times. The optimist says, cheer up, things will get better. The pessimist says, be prepared, it's gonna get worse. Jesus saw the man, went down in the pit and picked him up and got him out of the pit, that miserable pit. Some of you, maybe not this morning, but we know people in our lives have been in a miserable pit. That's who Jesus is. He's attracted to those of us that have all been in a pit one time or another, and He came to our pit. He reached into our pit. That's what love is. That's who Jesus is. That's what agape is. Jesus came to our pit. And I'm telling you, more in our life than ever, before this whole thing happened, people are in the pit, and the church of the living God has been called to step into their pit with them and rescue them and pull them up and show them the way. Can I get an amen to that? Church, Rock Church, I'm asking you to extend a hand this next season. Already I'm praying about, we're still planning on more evangelism this year, more outreach. God has called us to turn out. And he turned us out exponentially through social media. I'm telling you, exponentially. We've seen more people saved in the last 8 weeks than we did 8 months before. But, and God's saying, turn out, turn out. I know we've got to be safer for a while. We're going to be smart. We're going to be wise here at home and work. Yes, we are. We're going to walk through the process. But God is turning the Rock Church outward to a lost and dying world, to the people living in darkness and living in sin and living helpless and living hopeless. It's our calling. It's the anointing on us. The scripture says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Rock Church, God's turning us out to the highways and the byways and the workplace and the schools, and yes, even online. Share your faith. Jesus is ready to save in ways we can only imagine. But we have to extend a hand to people in the pit. We have to be the ones that lift them up. We have to be the ones that pick them up. We have to be the ones that carry them in times, even in times of prayer. That's what Jesus does. That's what love is. That's who Jesus is. Amen. Amen. He gave us the greatest example. That's what we read in our text. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God the Father sent his Son Jesus to this pit called earth. And there's good things about earth. Please, I enjoy life. If y'all are around me for 15 minutes, you know I enjoy living, even whatever's happening down here. But God reached down here. I'm looking across this congregation this morning, and I know most of you, just God has changed your life and changed your heart. Jesus had touched you. Jesus was the ultimate example. In Romans 5:8 said, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I close with this story. The man's name was John Griffith. He lived in Oklahoma in 1929. He would later move to Mississippi in 1937. And he experienced an accident, the most horrible accident anybody could ever imagine. He was a guy that, operator of a railroad bridge. So when the ships would come to the bridge, it was a drawbridge. He pushed the buttons, levers, whatever it was. The bridge go up, the ship comes through, the bridge goes down. Not many of those left anymore. There's some in our country. Pretty standard procedure back then, especially on the larger rivers. He took his 8-year-old son to work with him one day. And things were going well. Son wasn't a whole lot of trouble. He was a good boy. And here comes a ship. So he pulls the levers, this and that. And the bridge comes up and the ship's going through. But he lost sight of his son. And he couldn't see him around the little room he was in. And he looked out on the bridge, and where the gears were, and the bridge is up, the little boy's climbing on the big, giant gears of the bridge. And then he heard something that would haunt him the rest of his life. He heard the train whistle blow. And he could see that train probably less than a mile away from the bridge. The ship has gone by. He had a choice to make. He could leave the bridge up and kill, this found out later, 400 passengers. It was a passenger train. Or he could let the bridge down and sacrifice his son. That's a dilemma, isn't it? John would sacrifice his son. He would say later, the train went over safely. The people didn't have a clue. They just waved and smiled and laughing. They didn't know what happened. They did not know, nor could they understand, the sacrifice John Griffith made for them by giving his son. John made the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. That's who Jesus is. Will you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. Another thing that we're doing, we are, just for a season, shortening the services. But I guarantee you one thing, I want to sing more, preach more, and pray more. And I don't think I've almost never complained anyway, but I'll tell you something. I'm usually the last to leave and always have been. Because, you know, as long as one of you are around here, I like to visit. Probably the majority of our church, y'all don't leave for an hour after it's over. 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 15 minutes. Right? Because there is a real agape love that flows in this church. It's real. So don't get used to 1 hour services. Revival hits, we may be in 1 day services day after day. Anyway, we've been standing, haven't we, in our living rooms for 8 weeks. That was strategic. Church, keep standing. Let's don't go back to old comfort zones. Let's move, keep moving forward in Christ. And I know the way the Lord put it in my heart, and I rarely play the God card. I try not to play the God card. If I've heard from God, everybody will know, and so will I. But I truly felt it was important, and it was an instruction from the Holy Spirit for us to stand together when we were gone. And I still feel deeply impressed as I speak on the topic of love, and that now is the time to stand together like never before. And so I want to pray over you this morning. Lord, here we are again, standing in your presence. We've been in our living rooms, some on our back porches, some in the park. But there's a directive, Lord, and I'm still listening, that's coming from the throne of God for the Rock Church to stand. You promise that you'll build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You've promised to build the Rock Church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So again today, as we gather, we stand together of one mind and one accord and one purpose and one family. It's called the church. And I pray this morning as we stand for an anointing of the Holy Spirit that produces love, love, love. Do it through us. Give us the grace to walk in agape. Give us the grace to sacrifice. Give us the grace to turn the other cheek. Give us the grace to walk the extra mile. Lord, let us love one another. Let us love you like never before. Like never before. Like never before. And with every head bowed, because we, and it looks like we're all the church, we're all in this morning. But is there somebody here that needs to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? Raise your hand where you are and we'll pray for you. Okay, I see a hand. I see a hand. Is there any other hands? Okay. I want you to follow me in this prayer, and I want you to guys to help. Follow me in this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I need salvation. Your word has touched my heart. You are drawing me close. Today, I confess that I've fallen short. And today, I'm asking, Lord, you to come into my life. Forgive my sins. Come into my life. I'm opening the door of my heart. All that is within me. And Jesus, I'm giving you an invitation. Come into my heart and be Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. While you're standing, let's give the Lord a hand. Young man, will you wave at us? We want to know that you made that decision this morning. Right there he is, guys. Let's make a hand. Pastor Jill. Ah! Now, y'all got the announcement while we were gone, and she's going to dismiss us today. But this is our new associate pastor. So Pastor Lawrence, who's preaching this morning, did a wonderful job. He thought he could straighten me out. Now the Lord has sent a female into my life to try to straighten me out, other than Darla. So between the two of them, I might be radically transformed or something like that. I love you all dearly. Pastor Jill is going to actually even dismiss, after a prayer, dismiss you by sections. One, two, three, four, probably six sections. That's up to you. And I'm still going to meet you at the door and try to say, I'm not going to get too close. Let folks know that we had a good time today. Let folks know God's still on the move. I'll see some of you Tuesday night on Zoom. I'll see many of you on Wednesday night in the variety of services we're doing. It is so good to be back. See, I'm rambling. I love you all dearly, and I'll see you outside.